Corey Schneider joins us now. How are you?
Hey guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. I mean, lots to ask you about. Your team has been pretty busy this offseason as well. But your reaction today when Roberto Luongo retires with a few years left on his deal?
Well, I was actually on a flight out to California for just a week away, and I got off the plane, and you know, my phone kind of lit up, and I saw some media people texting. I was like, "Oh my God, what just happened? You know, like, should I get traded again?" I was sort of curious as to what happened, and I kind of read into it. I saw that Louis had announced his retirement. So, you know what? It was a little bit surprising, just because you know I thought he might give it a go again next year. Just having you know limited talks with him over the year, and when I did see him, we chatted about how he felt and everything. So, just knowing what kind of competitor he was and how much he loves the game, I thought he might try to give it you know one more year, but. I read his Players Tribune piece, and you know, I can totally identify with that. Just the whole getting your body ready, and just the amount of effort and mental energy it takes to play every single day is—it's hard. And especially, you know, at his age, I thought he still played pretty well for a guy who was 40. But I guess when you're 40 years old, you know, calling retirement surprising isn't very fair. So again, you know, kind of bittersweet. He had a heck of a career, and you know, played a long time and made a lot of, you know, impressions on a lot of people. But again, it's just sad for the game to see a guy like that go.
Everybody has their favorite Roberto Luongo memory. What's yours, Corey?
Oh man, there's a lot. Just that playoff run in 2011, just kind of the highs and lows of the Chicago series, where you know we were in and out, and then he was lights out for you know two rounds in the Boston series that had its ups and downs as well. But just you know seeing how he responded, and you know he'd have a bad game and then come back with a shutout, and just you know just kind of like just watching him you know fight his way through that whole playoff was incredible to watch first person. And you know even I remember when I came out of that game in Chicago and he sort of came out of the tunnel, it felt like the Undertaker coming out in like a WWE wrestling match. The whole place was started to boo him, and it was like the villain had come on to the ice, and I'll never forget that moment too, even though I was coming out of the game. But yeah, you know, it was just more of the day-to-day interaction with him, just getting the chance to start my career with a guy like that, who was always like very gracious with his time, and you know, never threatening or you know tried to scare me off or anything like that. He was always very comfortable in his own skin and comfortable with his game. That I don't think he ever felt intimidated by anybody, but he was more than helpful to me. So I think just you know some of those little daily interactions that you sometimes take for granted, but then you look back upon and you say, wow, that was meant a lot to me at the time. I didn't know if I realized it. And you know, again, just showed you what kind of guy he was.
Corey Schneider joining us here on Sportsnet 650. You allude to some of the situations you guys ended up being put in here in Vancouver, and they felt awkward covering them. I think they felt awkward for the fans, and yet the relationship between you and Roberto Luongo never felt awkward, at least from the outside. Is that how you felt, and why didn't it ever get awkward?
Yeah, you know, again, it's funny just now, you know, what, 6-7 years later, how much people remember that whole situation. And, you know, it was a big story at the time. You know, there's no denying it. It was, you know, we had a strong team. We had, you know, we're in kind of our prime window to compete and win a cup. And Louis was, again, in his prime, and I was up and coming. And it was just, yeah, it was a kind of a daily, you know, measuring stick or daily headline about what was going on. And you know, it was strange at the time being in it, just because we sort of knew internally, we're just kind of like, hey, you know, we're just trying to play and win here. We want to do what's best for the team, and it's him or me. You know, we're both on the same page here. We're on the same team. And, you know, so it always was not funny to us, because, you know, we weren't laughing about it, but we always found it odd that, you know, people did make it such a big deal, because again, at the end of the day, we're all pulling the same direction. So we wanted the same thing. So, but yeah, again, it is funny to look back that long and how people still remember that whole situation rather vividly, and the fallout, and you know, me getting traded and then him getting traded. It was a bit of a pretty dramatic turn both ways. So, you know, it was good drama for you guys. I'm sure it was, as a media member, it was good entertainment or good content. And you know, again, it just showed you how much the team meant, and how much people I think identified with us as players and the daily you know the daily events of that team. So again, while it was, you know, probably unusual and not uncomfortable, like you said, it wasn't uncomfortable between us, but, you know, it just showed how much I think, you know, that team meant to the city, and just how much people cared and paid attention to it, which is great, because I think that was the best part about playing in Vancouver, in my opinion.
You've been in the league now for over 10 years, Corey. How would you describe Luongo at his peak. You know, you've played with and against some of the great goalies in the game. When Roberto Luongo was at his best, was there a comparable, was there another goalie that you ever had the feeling, oh, like, God, if that guy's on his game, we don't have a chance?
Yeah, you know, I think Louis had such a unique kind of style and flair. You know, he just had his own way of playing the game. And I thought that was fun for me to watch. You can kind of tell when he was dialed in, you know, what that looked like. And that was more often than not when I played with him. You know, I just, you know, he put so much into it. He put all of his, you know, energy and emotion and effort into it, and he cared a lot. You know, he really wanted to go out and play every night and win every game. And, you know, he hit 1,000 games, which for a goalie is just, you know, absurd number. So, you can't do that without being extremely consistent and good for a long, long time. And, you know, for me, having grown up, I grew up watching him and, you know, playing against him. And, you know, it's, I think when you look back at the last 2 decades of the league and goaltending, he's right up there, if not in the top, you know, three with guys like Marty and, you know, you could probably name a couple others who might be in that mix, a guy like Henrik Lundqvist. But, you know, Lou's kind of been pretty consistent wire to wire. And to me, that's just incredible. And again, like I said, you have to be consistently great to play that long and that well. So I think, you know, people may look at, well, he never won a cup or never won a Vezina, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like there aren't many guys who have done what he's done in his career. So I think that's the bigger picture to me is just incredible.
On the day that Roberto Luongo announces his retirement, former Canuck goaltender Corey Schneider joining us here on Sportsnet 650. I'm sure you would agree that whether it's a coach or other players or certainly another goaltender, you learn something from everybody. What's the number one thing Roberto Luongo taught you?
I think he taught me how to just kind of, you know, manage expectations and just how to be comfortable with yourself and just learn how to move on and just kind of focus on what's important. I know before I was in Van full-time, you know, he kind of, you know, he wasn't maybe as comfortable with the media or in Vancouver. And then by the time I got there, it was like night and day. You could see when he put things behind him or how he maybe, you know, turned it into something where it was not a big deal or a non-issue, or, you know, he deflected and put blame on himself instead of his teammates. And, you know, I thought for me, just to watch him manage being in the fishbowl that was Vancouver at the time, and how he went about his business and performed really well for the most part, I think for me that was great to watch. Because, again, you know, the technical side of it, I think everyone's got their own theories and styles. And, yeah, you can pick stuff up from guys technically, but at the end of the day, you kind of do what feels natural and feels best for you. But I think some of that other stuff that not everyone gets to experience or see is really important as a young goalie. How do I talk to the media after a bad game? How do I, react to the guys in the room if I give a bad goal? How do I come back after a tough night and pitch a shutout or steal a game? So I think for me, that was the biggest thing for me to watch from him and try to take away from him.
It's a really good point you bring up because, yes, in covering Roberto Luongo, we did witness a metamorphosis of sorts in terms of how he dealt with the media and how much of his personality he was willing to share. Did you see a change in his personality at all, Corey? Or was it simply he was willing to show the guy to the rest of us that you guys always saw behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, his whole Twitter thing I thought was hilarious because I would say he's more like that. I mean, when he competes and when he's focused, you know, he's very, very intense and very, you know, involved in what he's doing. So it's not like he's like that all the time. But, you know, off the ice or practice or – and even in games, he would come up and, you know, we'd make jokes to each other. You know, he would say something ridiculous. And I think, you know, that helped him, I think, you know, maybe feel a little more comfortable, a little more at ease. And, you know, I think he was very self-deprecating, too. You know, I think you guys found that, you know, when he kind of came out with that Twitter account. But, again, that was something he always was with us, that he never put himself above the team or felt that he was better, more important, or untouchable. He always was willing to take his share of the blame and sometimes poke fun at himself. Like, as a goalie, you know, there's times where you get embarrassed or you look stupid or, you know, everyone sees it and you can't really hide it. So I think sometimes you have to lean into it and just, you know, go with it as opposed to trying to fight it or, you know, act defiant. So, yeah, I mean, again, I think he was like that with us more than you guys at first, and then you could see how he became more open with that publicly.
In 2014-2015, Corey, you played almost 4,000 minutes for the Devils. You stopped over 1,800 pucks. And Roberto Luongo did that plus, you know, more, add a couple hundred onto there for about 5 or 6 seasons in a row. Can you from an energy standpoint, can you fathom that?
Yeah, it's it is something. You know, again, coming from Louis to coming to Jersey and replacing Marty, and you look at Marty's career, and there was a stretch there where he played 5 or 6 years and he had like 78 games, 76, 74, 78, and you just look at those numbers. And I know the game has changed a little bit now, where it's maybe a little more taxing than it was. The styles are different, but I think mentally, just to prepare yourself and get through games with that kind of energy, it's hard. And yeah, like you said, playing that year, I think I played 69 games. It was fun. Once you got into it, you know, you just get into it. You don't think and you just play. But when you're done, you kind of sit back and, you know, you're kind of like, wow, that was exhausting. You know,
yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
A lot of work mentally, a lot of work physically, but you know, it's something that you try to take pride in. And, you know, I think the next year I came close, it was either 59 or 60. And, obviously some injuries have sort of, you know, derailed that or got me off schedule there, but you know, it just goes to show that, you know, not only do you have to be good, you got to stay healthy, you got to take care of your body and do the right things. Those guys were always able to do that. And I think, you know, the goalies who are there night in, night out, and you can count on and rely on them, they're hard to find, because not many guys can do that, where you play, like you said, you know, 4,000 minutes a season every year and give good quality goaltending.
Not everybody knew that Roberto Luongo would chirp his teammates, and some specifically behind the scenes. We've had a cavalcade of former teammates come on the station today, and Darcy Hordichuk was one of them, and talked about all the interactions he had and had a few good stories to tell. Do you have any to share, Corey, about either a great prank he pulled on a teammate or some classic chirp that he had for Hordichuk or others during your guys' time here?
He was pretty hard on Hordy. I think they were neighbors in Florida, too, so we got a lot of Hordy. And he had some good ones that I can't quite remember now, but he's a pretty big smack talker when it comes to fantasy football. I've been in a couple leagues with him over the years, and I'm still in one with him. And, you know, he'll always win best draft, or he'll always be, you know, oh, I got this in the bag. And then he'll end up, like, losing 10 in a row or getting knocked down the first round of the playoffs. So it's, you know, he cares about that a lot. So I always like to remind him that, yeah, you know, I try to play dumb a little bit. Like, oh, who did I pick in that round? Or like, oh, who am I playing this week? Am I playing you? Did I beat you? You know, just try to get under his skin a little bit to make him overthink it and, you know, do something dumb. But he is actually pretty good at fantasy, so it's hard to chirp. So when I get those opportunities, I take advantage.
Corey Schneider, our guest here in the program, Sportsnet 650. The day that Roberto Luongo calls it a career, plenty more on Luongo coming up. Your New Jersey Devils, the draft was here in Vancouver, obviously, and the Devils were kind of the talk of the town. They obviously get Jack Hughes first overall. You'll get to know him, and PK Subban will be a teammate of yours. What did you make of your team's weekend?
Yeah, it's always fun to be the team making the moves. You know, I think you see other, you know, see teams at the deadline or in the off season, and they're proactive and they're making a splash, and it, you know, it energizes the fan base and energizes the team. And you know, I think we had talked about it after the year that we're a team that just needed more talent, and getting those two guys is a great start. You know, I doubt we're done, or you know, it's not the end of the puzzle there, but it's a great start. And, you know, it was, I was joking with Jack. I saw Jack over the weekend at his press conference, and I said, well, you know, finally you and Quinn is the new New Jersey-Vancouver storyline, not me coming back to Vancouver anymore. So I appreciate you taking that from me. So
that's true.
You know, he seems like a really good kid, and obviously PK is well known, but I've heard nothing but good things about him. So we're eager to get him in the room and kind of get him in our culture and just try to, you know, have him buy into what we're trying to do here. But, again, when you add talented guys like that, I think it'll help any team. So we're really excited.
You guys have that story first, by the way. I believe the first meeting of the brothers, or potential meeting of the brothers, is in October in New Jersey as opposed to here in Vancouver.
Right.
So you have to deal with it first, Corey.
Yeah, that's true, too. So I'll give Jack a few pointers on how to deal with it. But yeah. I'm happy that I can pass that on to him now.
And you're right. You come here, you'll be old news. Everyone will be
exactly.
in the locker room crowded around Jack Hughes. You'll feel lonely. But you're always welcome on this show. How about that?
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sure Louis will still be on his victory tour, or his, you know, final lap tour in Vancouver.
Sportsnet 650.